But we've been doing this wee series for, this is our fourth week, called Our Confidence Is In. And so we're going to conclude that series this morning by looking at, so just as a refresher, we looked at Our Confidence Is In, we looked at self-confidence the first week, and we talked about how self-confidence is no confidence at all, and we referenced Lucifer on how his self-confidence and where that got him. That was our first week. Then we looked at our confidence is in our testimony, and we talked about how our testimony and encouragement for tomorrow comes from yesterday's strength, and we looked at that and how our testimony can have an impact. Then last week we looked that our confidence is in the reward, that there is a promised reward, that we will spend eternity with our Lord and Saviour, and that's what we looked at last week. And so this week we're actually going to look at our confidence is in the Lord. That is who our confidence is in. And so Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 24 says this: "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Let us draw near and hold fast. We can draw near to God with confidence. And the only way we can do that is because of what Jesus has done before. And the boldness or the confidence that we have to enter the presence or the heavenly sanctuary of God through Christ is contrasted with the restrictions relating to the privilege of symbolic entry into the presence of God in Israel's earthly sanctuary. So if you think about the Old Testament and you think about the tabernacle and you think about entering in there, not everyone could access that privilege. Only the high priest could do that. And he was the representative of the people. Only he was able to go into the most holy place. And then even not when he chose or at his desire, but only at fixed times and with fixed conditions. So he could only go at a certain time and only if certain regulations were met before he did so. But for those who have been cleansed within, consecrated and made perfect by the sacrifice of Christ, us, we've been given a free right of access into the holy presence, and it is to this that the author of Hebrews urges his listeners and readers to avail themselves of fully. It's free, it doesn't cost you anything. Now he's writing to Hebrew believers. Hebrew believers suggest that they were Jewish believers that had come to Christ. And so for them, the whole sacrificial system, they understand that. They get that. They know what he's talking about. They recognize what he's alluding to. And the fact that you don't have to go through these rules and regulations, you don't have to meet all these conditions before you can approach God. You can approach the throne of grace with confidence. No doves, no lambs to sacrifice, no bull or goat need be brought. Now I understand that you know this already, And how do I know that you know that? Because when your car parked in the car park or in the street outside, you didn't have a rack on the front or on the roof with a deer on it, or a cow, or a lamb, or anything. And you understand the sacrificial system is in the past. But for people who are practicing Jews, this was striking for them. And people who had come from a Jewish system of worship and had become Christians, they get completely what it is that the author's talking about. You don't need to do that anymore. That debt, that price has been paid in Jesus Christ. There's no need to recite a prayer or a specific prayer to atone for your sins. No Spanish steps need to be climbed on your knees. No cilice or hair shirt needs be worn, and no indulgences need to be paid. You don't have to do any of that because Jesus paid it all. He's paid the price. And so the invitation to draw near with confidence to the throne of grace has already been given in the epistle. In Hebrews 4, verses 14 to 16, it says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." We do not have a great high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Jesus was a man. God sent his son, and he was a man who lived in the earth. We looked at a whole series on that recently. But he was a man. He was as human as you and I are. He was tempted. But he didn't give up. He didn't give in. He didn't give in to the temptation. On this occasion, when the author of Hebrews is writing, the invitation is based on the assurance that the high priest who has passed through the heavens is one whose own experiences of temptation enable him to sympathize or empathize, in this translation, with his people in their trials. What is your struggle? What is your most common temptation? Jesus faced that too. Maybe in a different way, but he faced it. And in this passage, a further assurance is given that we just read, that the way by which Jesus Christ entered into the presence of God remains open for his people to follow him there. You can have confidence that Jesus has already made clear the path to go to the Father. You don't need to do anything else. You don't need to work up to achieving something to be able to approach the throne of grace. You can confidently approach that throne right now without having to do anything else, because Jesus has done it all for you. Since we have confidence, boldness to approach the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, it's only by the blood of Jesus that we're able to do that. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we are able to approach the throne of grace. And I know what it's like. There are times when you might have sinned. And no, we're not talking like heinous sins here. But just the wee things that we struggle with every single day. Maybe you said something that you shouldn't have said, or you've done something you shouldn't have done. You've reacted in a way that you shouldn't have reacted, and it's led you to sin. Every single one of us is human, and we do that. And you're like, oh no. I don't know if I can approach God now because of what I've done. But you can still approach the throne of grace with confidence because the blood that was shed by Jesus. If you ask the Father to forgive you for your sins, the blood of Jesus covers that sin. And therefore, you can confidently approach the throne of grace. The Lord already knows what you've done. And even though we try and hide it from him, the only person that we're hiding it from is ourselves. Therefore, we can approach the throne confidently, knowing that the debt has been paid, and if we ask the Lord to forgive us, it is forgiven and forgotten, and then we can move on. The only people that throw a spanner in the works and make this difficult is us. The holy place is used with reference to the earthly sanctuary where the inner compartment was actually meant. So when you approached the Holy of Holies, when you came in to the tabernacle, you came in and there was an outer court. And then there was an inner court. And then you came to the Holy of Holies and you went into there, and then as soon as you went in there, there was another curtain that took you into the most holy place. Jesus has become that curtain or that veil by which we can enter the most holy place. By the giving up the offering of his body. And so though the curtain literally means into the very throne room of God, we've got free entry there. Not into a symbolic place that represented the place where his throne was, but into the real throne room of God. We have entry to there. All the time. No conditions need be met. There's no restriction on how many days you can go. You don't even need to wear certain clothes. You can go confidently. Anytime you choose to go, and you can approach God in that way. Because of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, we can now enter this heavenly abode and know direct communion with him. Have you ever been in the place where, because of some of the stuff that you've done, or some of the stuff that's going on in your life, you feel that your access to God is restricted, where you feel he won't accept you, where you feel that you need to do this and this, you need to do one thing or another before you can approach there? We've probably all felt like that at times. But because of the blood of Jesus, we don't need to worry about that. We can approach him any time we want. In Hebrews 9 verse 12 it says, he did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption. By his blood he obtained eternal redemption. That's for us. We have eternal redemption. I'm so glad we don't need to sacrifice cows, goats, doves, lambs, the whole can you imagine the mess it would make of the carpet? We don't have to do that. There is no pressure on us to adhere to a set of rules and regulations. The majority of yous know, if not all of yous know, I was brought up Roman Catholic. And at no point am I going to diss the Catholic faith. I won't do that. But so much of what I saw was about rules and regulations. There was no encouragement to have, certainly in my experience, to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I did not feel that I could confidently approach the throne of grace, because I didn't feel confident, because of what I'd done in my life, because of the sin that I'd committed. And I always felt as if that sin was hanging over me, even though I would go to confession and I would confess my sins to a priest. I still felt that I wasn't fully absolved of my sin. But when I surrendered my life to Jesus, when I was 19, I asked him for forgiveness of my sin. Immediately, something changed. I felt different. And I know it's not about feelings, but something changed. Something experientially. And it changed my life. It changed my life. And now, I can approach the throne of grace with confidence. Do I always do it that confidently? Absolutely not. Because I'm human, I'm fallen, but I've been redeemed. But sometimes, it's as if my fallenness goes before my redemption. The only person that changes that is Jesus. Because if we read through the epistles in the New Testament, and Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus and Corinthians, in the book of Colossians, you know, in the different letters, the Galatians, these things, and he writes those, and he says, to the saints in wherever it is. To the saints, because we're redeemed. We are saints. Jesus has paid the price. Therefore, we are classified as saints. So can you imagine the letter to the Ephesian church? To the sinners in Ephesus, grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's just like, oh man, I'm a sinner. But he writes to the saints. We are saints. We have been redeemed. Sinner is our former name, our former identifier. Now we're redeemed. We have been forgiven. Jesus has obtained equal right of entry by means of his sacrifice for us into the very presence of God. And of that we need be confident. I don't know where your confidence is at the moment. Whether if we did it on a scale of 0 to 100, is your confidence at 100? In my experience, I would suggest very rarely do you find a person whose confidence is at 100. But hopefully none of you are going through it where your confidence is at zero. But you need to know that through what Jesus has done for you, your confidence can automatically increase. You can automatically now, with confidence and with assurance, approach the throne of grace. There is nothing inhibiting you doing that. There is nothing restricting you from doing that. You can go there and meet with the Father, the same way that the high priest entered into the Holy of Holies to meet with God. Just in our experience, there is no restrictions. And so my desire for you, my prayer for everybody here and everybody who's part of our church, is that you would know confidence. Things can steal your confidence or rob you of your confidence. Sometimes you can give your confidence away, maybe even without knowing it. But what I want to encourage you to do is take your confidence back. We looked over the last few weeks about not throwing away our confidence or not abandoning our confidence. Jesus has paid the price for you. No matter how recent or how long ago that he paid that price for you, he has. All he seeks is relationship with you. And one of the phrases that I used to see regularly is that he passionately pursues relationship with you on a daily basis. And so here's my challenge as we finish today. How much time do you spend with the Lord every day? Or do you spend time with the Lord every day? So the challenge is this. What I want to challenge you to do, we were challenged a number of years ago by Steve Nicholson from Evanston Vineyard to spend an hour every day with the Lord. And he said to us, if you can do that for a week, you'll find that after that week, it won't be enough. And you'll be trying to steal more time away with him. So we're not going to go in as full and as heavy as an hour. But here's what I'd like to encourage you to do. Now this might be in reading your Bible, in some worship, maybe even just sitting quiet and contemplating his presence, or maybe it's you talking to him. I would encourage you to let him have the opportunity to speak back. But you can do any of those things. But my encouragement to you is try your utmost to get 30 minutes a day with him. Just set aside 30 minutes. It might mean you miss an episode at EastEnders, Coronation Street, Emmerdale, your favourite TV show. But that's okay. In the grand scheme of things, it's going to be much more of a benefit to you. And so that's my challenge. 30 minutes every day set aside only for God. And if you can do that consistently for over a week, I would believe wholeheartedly that you'll find that 30 minutes is not enough and you'll want to steal some more somewhere else. And that might be another 5-10 minutes. But Charlene and I wholeheartedly believe everything is dependent on your devotional life. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. Know that you're welcome. Know that you're accepted. Know that you're beckoned to be in that place. That's where the Lord wants you to be. He wants you to be with him. He wants you to worship him. He knows you by name. He wants to communicate with you every day. So approach the throne of grace with confidence. Do you want to stand? And in the wee song that I based this whole sermon series on, it says, our confidence is in the Lord, the source of our salvation. Rest is found in him alone, the author of creation. We will not fear the evil day, because we have a refuge. In every circumstance we say, our hope is built in Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done, and how we can confidently approach the throne of grace, we don't need to fear the evil day. He is our refuge. And in the wee song later on, it goes on to say, he is our fortress, he will never be shaken. Then it says, in every circumstance we say, our hope is built in Jesus. What is your hope built on today? Is your hope built on systems, in organization, on finance? Is it dependent on other things? Or is it built on Jesus? And I would hope, and I would pray that for every one of us in this room, our hope is built on Jesus. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence.